A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 704?
Correct.
Yeah, that sounds good.
A milestone.
Indeed a milestone.
Yes. Bidets, bidets, bidets.
Well done.
Thank you. Which is just a warning, also the name of the porn parody.
Perfect.
Oh. So
spelled differently, but yeah. The pronunciation is obviously
right.
Similar.
I mean, maybe it's a warning. Maybe it's a selling point.
It could be.
No judgment.
We'll wait and see.
We're not here to kink shame.
No. Oh, so, never.
No, I mean,
never.
It's not like it's not hiding it. It's like if you're that, they're telling you.
It's right there on Front Street.
Right.
And, well, I guess more like Back Street.
Back Street.
Oh. Yeah.
It's back. It's
all right.
There. Thank you very much.
So I guess before I forget, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Well, before we dig in, let's just do shameless plugs. Let's just be really efficient.
Let's do it.
Shameless plugs.
It's
Don't
impressive.
Forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us. You never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. Maybe not always, but sometimes.
It depends on what the review is, I guess.
So we have a new review.
We do. We do. Coming from iTunes, this is from Plugger603. This show is 5 stars. This
Woo-hoo.
Show is great. The three hosts are very entertaining.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Plugger. That was a really nice review.
I think there's more.
There might be a little bit.
Okay.
But they do have some quirks. Joe compares everything to a DC comic or movie and can get on nerves. Also, Kevin, who is gay, is great, yet he believes he knows all sometimes and comes off like a prince.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Tom is by far the best and the funniest. He brings the whole thing together. So despite sometimes annoyance, the show is tremendous. That is just a whirlwind.
Wow.
Yeah.
If there's ever
that is
been
a roller coaster of emotions.
So was that your alt account or Crystal's account?
I don't care enough. So I guess the question really is, Kevin, does your wife know?
Yeah. Well, not until she reads the review. I didn't even know until I read the review, but that's eye-opening. Hey, thanks.
Oh, that's but it's just like
I meant the part about me being the best and funniest.
Yeah, what were you talking about?
You know what? That's the thing. I bring this energy. I'm a very happy guy. I bring it every morning that we record.
Referring
I'm glad
to you
that
a prince is very. That's a strange one.
Yeah, I know. A prince.
Okay. And also, it's not just DC Comics, by the way.
There's also wrestling.
And Marvel.
Okay.
And maybe,
occasionally Image.
Occasionally, maybe a Dark Horse will swing in there every once in a while.
Yeah. We also have a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping maybe you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include David Rojas, Librarian Cynthia, Julianne Jordan, Christopher Rex, Ralph Tribble, Josh Rosen, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Brent Smith, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Chris Valls, Chris Williams, L is Not Well, Invasion of the Remake, Minorities Report, Megan Kearns, Spoiler Piece Theater, In Session Film, Nostalgia Cast, Colby Mack, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Geek to Me Radio, Matt Naglia, Ronnie Castle, Feel and Film, Binge Movies, Mike and Oscar, and Linda Wright. So thank you very much. And finally, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, extra Matt Bassler, and we like you more.
Yes. The Army of Darkness episode is done in the can. I had a personal thing happen.
That sounds painful.
It was. Last week, so we didn't get to do the remake yet, but that will be done this week. We'll be recording the episode. Also, if you ever check out Binge Movies, I am going to be on there. I'm recording a couple episodes.
Plugs at the end.
Well, I would do it in case they don't listen all the way to the end.
This is the real spoilers plug section.
I know, but like, in case they don't get there.
They don't listen to the whole thing? What?
Yeah, I know. Right. Two episodes. I'm not going to tell you what they are. They'll be surprise episodes, but I'm recording two episodes with Jason this week as well.
Two?
So,
and two well, more?
No. Just one with Matt and then two with Jason.
Oh, okay. Still.
Yeah. It's a busy week that we are. Yeah. I'm trying to catch up on stuff that I unfortunately had to delay because of COVID and vacation and then something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's all that. I guess let's dig into Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
If you have not seen this movie, you should probably see it first.
It's worth seeing unspoiled.
Before you listen.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, if you've seen my tweet.
I did not.
Look.
The tweet that took the world by storm.
Yeah, by getting two likes and a comment.
One with me.
Doing better than me.
It's like, okay, was this supposed to be making fun? What generation is this? Because this isn't millennials, right? Like, this is the generation.
Gen Z.
Okay. So is this making fun of Gen Z, or is this like we're making a movie for Gen
this
Z?
This is a satire of Gen Z.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I think think it's supposed to be relatable for Gen Z.
But it can also poke fun at them.
Right. But yeah. It's a satire. I won't say make fun because I think the way this film is handled is with love. I do not think that this is a mean-spirited attack of Gen Z is just horrible. I think that the director is making observations.
Is the director Gen Z?
No, she's older.
Okay.
I'm not saying old, but I mean she's older.
Okay.
Helena Range, this is her first American film. All right.
Woohoo!
And that was something off mic. Yeah. And
I think my wife just got a shout out on a Peloton.
There you go. but this is her third feature and her first American film.
Okay.
But she's an actor. She has 69 credits. So
it's her own fault. She should have gotten
more
one,
or do less.
She should have gotten one more acting credit before
this episode.
Before she directed a film.
She was born in 75, so older than us, and maybe not as old as
old as me.
Yeah. So anyway, for the
he's
age
5 years younger than me, for those of you
what about
score.
The writer? I just feel like I feel like there's a pretty good the reason I ask is because I feel like there is a pretty good understanding of Gen Z and like that world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
and I guess you could do your research, but
story by Kristen Rupenian and Sarah DeLapp. So two different people wrote it.
She was born in 82.
Okay, so
the story by credit.
She's an elder millennial because I was born in 82.
Right.
Okay.
And then Sarah DeLapp. I don't see an age on her.
Okay.
But you're right. But I do think it feels believable. So clearly the writers know the way that different people in Gen Z act in different like archetypes or different, that kind of thing.
Not even archetypes, but just I feel like, okay, and I don't mean this to be mean. Everybody in this movie feels just so vapid. Like there's a comment at one point about a character not having their own thought in their own head. Like everything is based off what they read on TikTok or Twitter or whatever. And I feel like the characters are all like that.
Oh, I did.
But I don't know if that's.
Oh, I did.
Thank you. Okay.
Much as the Rachel Sennett.
I mean,
some are
worse than others.
Some are worse than others.
But yeah, they're all pretty. But
I thought they were all diversified enough.
But it's a very specific type of.
Yes.
Right. They all come from money, essentially. Right.
They're
all kids that have money and don't have to work for it, except for one.
Except for one. And we'll get into that because I have questions about that.
But watching this film, I could tell each character apart. Like, but by That's being fair. Introduced yes. to them quickly, yeah. I could figure out that this is the social media person. This is just the rich person. You know, just like the, like Pete Davidson was just clearly the rich guy. Show off.
The richest of all of them.
Yeah, yes. there wasn't. Yeah, his.
They're all well, doing fine.
Aren't
but...
he and like Sophia on the same level? Like, don't they say that?
They say her house is bigger. Yeah, yeah. Her parents' house is bigger, but they're the richest of them all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're best friends too. So you could just kind of figure out. And then there is the one that was kind of the outlier that wasn't really like a newer part of the group. And we eventually learned like the big insult is they're upper middle class.
Right.
And I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's me.
And so there's, but you could tell all the characters apart. You know, there's the actor. So you could see what each of them had going on.
Yeah.
And then obviously Greg, played by Lee Pace, is just out, just totally out.
The upper middle, middle class insult was kind of, was interesting because it was a double ed. It worked on two levels, right?
She wanted to come from rags to riches, on the one hand,
they're saying, you're not as rich as us. But on the other hand, they're calling her out for portraying herself as working class,
right? When you're really,
when she's really upper middle class,
yeah.
compared to them, she doesn't have as much money.
Sure,
but compared to the rest of the world, she's doing fine.
Yes,
she wants to be a self starter, but she's not. She had upper middle class help, so you could tell. I think that's a testament to the writing because I could tell all of them apart. There's not a lot of characters in the scheme of things because there's like eight people in this movie, but to be thrown into here's eight characters, we get to know them pretty quickly and understand what their thing is. So we should go through the cast, I think. There's a lot of good actors in this and people that you'd know from other stuff probably. Amanda Stenberg was in the Hate U Give. You've got, of course, Maria Bakalova, who was in Borat's subsequent movie film.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see Borat 2?
No. You should.
Oh, really?
She's
it's
the one
really
that was
good.
With Rudy in, okay. the, in the hotel room.
I know that scene.
Yeah, but that's her.
Okay.
It's way better than it has any right to be.
Okay.
Totally worth watching.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
She's a really good actor, and the guts that it took to do the stuff that she did. I mean, if you're Sacha Baron Cohen, one in a billion, like, we get it. That's your thing, and you've been doing that for years. But this actor... she's fairly new.
Sure.
I mean, for new to the scene as far as we know. And she goes in there and does stuff and is able to hold her own and is believable. And I mean, she pulls off Borat stuff like easily. And she also has a dramatic arc for her character.
Oh, okay.
In the film. And so she's really good. But I was excited to see her do something else. And it's like, she's not just the girl from Borat. It's like she's going to get some good roles, and she can act for sure. Rachel Sennett, who is in a movie called Shiva Baby. Did either of you see that?
No.
Watch it. It's on HBO Max. It is so good. It's about a girl who, it kind of feels like when, who's the main character in this movie?
Sophia. I don't know who Sophia? The main character is in this movie.
I mean, I think that's one of the things, right? Like, I think Sophie is kind of... she's the one who's front and center, but I feel like
it's probably
it's
B, but
is also.
But
kind
there
of
isn't
a,
an obvious. I don't think an obvious like lead
final girl
character in this movie.
Yeah, there's not a character that we follow all the way through.
Yeah, so I would definitely agree it's B. But you kind of start off following Sophie like it's going to be her movie, and kind of ends up being B. But the two of them kick off the movie,
and they end the movie.
Yeah, right, exactly. So Rachel Sennett is in this movie called Shiva Baby, and it's kind of similar to how Sophie's coming back home to this group, but she's been kind of gone, and there's something awkward about her coming back.
Yeah.
They're sitting Shiva at a funeral, a Jewish funeral afterwards, and so all the family and friends are there, but there's some awkward relationships. There's an ex there, and so there's this awkward thing of being at this Shiva, and... it's just like a contained, it's pretty much all takes place there, but all the familial relationships and the friends and the ex are there, and a bunch of drama starts happening. And I will tell you, I felt more anxious. This is not a knock on this movie, but I felt more anxious in Shiva Baby than I did in this, which is like supposed to be kind of a horror film.
Right.
It is so stressful and anxiety inducing from her point of view of all the things she has to deal with, these awkward family, you know, being it like a reunion type
like
situation.
Did you watch that?
I haven't watched that yet.
Jeepers.
Is that
creepers.
A stressful
it's,
one?
Oh man.
What movie?
It's The Bear.
That TV show.
Yeah, I haven't watched
it's,
it.
I think it's great, but it's same deal. Like when they start getting into like service, you're just like, I could never work in a restaurant. Like this is too much.
So
it's really good.
Seriously though, watch Shiva Baby. I love that movie. It is so good. It's on HBO Max. Pete Davidson's in it. So of
course are you sure it's still on HBO Max?
Yeah. Someone mentioned it the other day, so it should still be there. And it's not an original either. So, you know, they seem to only like to cut their content.
Yeah,
they
the ones
own,
that, ones that they own.
Like,
which makes no sense.
None
but yeah, enough of that.
And then Lee Pace plays Greg, who's like a late 30s, early 40s something old, who's dating Rachel Sennett's character,
right,
who's a social media influencer. So she's dating this older guy, and we'll get into their relationship a little bit later.
I keep forgetting that he is from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He's like Lord of the Rings. He's the bad guy from
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which Lord of the Rings?
The Hobbit, right? The Hobbit ones,
yeah. That doesn't count.
He's one of the elf, one of the elven leaders. So anyway, so you've got him, who's definitely an outsider, and then Myala Harold, who is one of the friends. She's the upper middle class girl. And then Emma is played by Chase C. Wonders, who is
the actress. Yeah.
And then we hear about Max, and we don't see much of him, but we hear that there's been an altercation between Max and Pete Davidson's character.
There's been an altercation because Pete Davidson's face is bruised up.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we hear that it's because of this guy, Max, who left in a rage. So they do set up several red herrings at the beginning of this movie,
yeah,
which doesn't get right into the craziness, but they're setting up all these people who could be causing the trouble.
Right. And it's, you know, we've had a couple movies like this recently. I was thinking of like Ready or Not and You're Next, where they kind of have these self-contained, not really whodunits, but like murder horror movies contained in this house.
It reminded me of Ready or Not a lot.
Yeah.
With the setting of being in the big house and the crazy violent stuff going on.
Piece.
Ooh, good. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But being in the rich people mansion house, like the setting.
Well, and then you've got the girl who's not from that
the outsider
world.
Girl, exactly. Yeah, and not to say it's a copy, and Ready or Not's great, and I really enjoyed this one, but it was kind of giving me those vibes. This movie to me was like a mix of maybe Ready or Not and an Agatha Christie movie. It's definitely turns into a whodunit type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
so than it's a slasher movie. It's more of a whodunit.
I would not call this a slasher. I would even, I'm again hesitant to call it a horror movie, because I mean, I guess kind of. Thriller, I guess, would be more appropriate than a horror movie. Like, that's kind of A24's jam at this point, is, like, they have figured out, like, this weird blend of
horror adjacent.
Yeah, and I hate the term elevated horror, but, like, horror adjacent, right? Like, Hereditary and Midsommar. And
all the other horror you like is trash.
You aren't wrong.
I prefer, I think there, instead of elevated horror, there should be, like, horror.
Yes.
And then trash horror.
There's a middle ground, right? Like, there's some horror flicks that aren't trash, but aren't like, you know, they don't
artsy,
raise.
Fartsy.
Yes, they're like right yeah. there in the middle. Yeah, I will say 2022 has been a pretty good year for horror, and it looks like it might be a good year towards the tail end too. Yeah. So all of this. So Sophie and B show up at this massive like home. It is kind of weird how this movie starts is with B and Sophie. Pretty much going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it lingers on that. Like
a little long. Like I thought it was like, I'm like,
I don't
this
really
is a little long.
Know what it establishes by lingering that long.
I mean, you can, yeah. I mean, it's a director's choice, right? Like
yeah.
it's however
and
you want to do it.
It's a female writer and director. So it's not like it's a pervy middle-aged guy that wants to make these
sure.
two actresses go at it. So I'm like, we've established this.
Right.
Why are we still here?
You're trying to get her off. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Their relationship is very odd to me. Like, and I can't determine if it's because B is weird. And I don't mean like the character is very weird
yeah.
and standoffish and kind of closed and mousy, where Sophie is not.
Yeah.
Like Sophie's very out and loud and boisterous. And
I don't think she's weird. I think she's foreign. So I think there's some kind of a language barrier there. She definitely speaks with her like the actor
sure.
speaks with an accent.
Is that her actual accent or, yeah. or is she? Okay.
I believe so. Okay. So I think she being foreign, she still has that kind of language barrier type thing. And also this is another red herring. Being quiet
sure, sure,
because
sure.
it's a contemplative, I'm going to be murdering people kind of thing. And so on purpose, they want you to be kind of thrown off.
I think that's fair. Also, the whole thing with like the phone around her neck, like
yeah.
that was odd, and talking to her mom.
Because
like,
you wonder, is she talking to her mom? Is she talking to her mom? Is she talking to Max who's not there? Are they orchestrating something? Is this the two killer scream type thing?
I was like, you went scream with it. All
right.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But that's the thing. I think what's kind of brilliant about this movie is what the audience projects onto these characters and brings to this situation, because it's really interesting where it ends up. And I don't think we should spoil that yet, but
no, we'll get there.
I think that it's really interesting. All the things you bring and you're like, oh, it could be this. Oh, but who is
because that? You're doing the same thing they're doing.
Yes. You get to play
yeah,
along
right.
and it's really fun. And this movie, which I think the ending that we'll get to what elevates it is that this is a really hard one to call. And I think that's impressive because we've seen so many horror movies.
It's a really hard ending to call.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we've seen so many movies for them to actually pull something different and trick us when they're throwing out all these quote unquote clues that are there.
Right.
But you're piecing them together and I would guarantee most people don't get it. And I'm like, I was impressed. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh. All
right. And it makes total sense.
Total sense.
Like it doesn't feel like you got cheated. Right. I'm like, yeah, that's that's on brand. Yeah, right. Especially considering the actor they cast.
Also correct.
Yeah.
Also, did they digitally take out all of his tattoos?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He has no tattoos
probably
in this
makeup.
Movie. Oh, probably. That's fair. And I was like,
you
why
can
would,
cover up tattoos with
like,
makeup
why would
pretty
they
well.
Do that? But I
because he's not he's a rich
well the kid, other, th- not the other a... thing is remember the whole Mike Tyson thing when that tattoo artist sued
you might have to pay for some
people.
Of those designs that could
and
be
I've seen his tattoos they probably didn't cost much but so we get to the house and people it's interesting because everybody's underwater and this is where I'm talking about where I was just like I don't like any of these people. And
I think that's okay.
I think that's the point.
You're not supposed
for me,
to
right?
relate. Like, most people are not supposed to relate to right. this lifestyle. These are rich people, and even the least rich, not including B because she's an outsider, but even the least rich, the upper middle class, she's still a richy rich type person. So you're not supposed to relate to them. And I think it's also like for older people, people in our generation, we're also like, oh, these Gen Zers
God!
Because the way they act. But again, I don't think the movie treats them mean. I think that it's a pretty accurate representation of some Gen Z.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of Gen Z people are going to relate to them, but
sure.
it's also like these characters are in a different world to where most people are not in that world. So
right.
you still have some kind of like an outsider feel, even if you're in that age group, 'cause you're like, well, that's not me. I'm not the rich social media. I'm on social media, but I'm not like
right.
taking my every vacation photo or whatever. So you still have that kind of outside poking
yes.
at that.
Yeah. So Sophie shows up and some people are like happy to see her. The character that,
Rachel Sennett pretty
yeah,
much
is very happy to see her there, but she's another one where I'm like, there's nothing to like everything she said. You know, she will agree with whoever is talking.
Yeah,
you know,
she's very social media.
Just a podcast.
That vapid that you say that character is very much to where when she's like, oh, Sophie. I didn't necessarily believe she was happy to see her because it seemed like you said she's like that to everyone. She's
yeah.
just kind of the neutral. She's Switzerland. You know, she's yeah. just like tries to be friendly with everyone.
Just goes along with
just,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like there is a underlying thing where everybody else, except for Greg, who is just this just ridiculous character,
yeah.
That they don't want her there. Or maybe she's not welcome. Maybe they don't want her, but there's tension. There's tension
for sure.
among everybody. And Sophie.
She shows up unannounced and we as the audience don't know why that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I don't think, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I didn't feel like I got a pretty good idea of what happened other than she went to rehab. Is that it? Like, did I miss something else?
Well,
where,
her
like,
friends were worried about her dying constantly and then they put her in rehab to save her life basically. And then she didn't talk to any of them for a long time after. So it's just like you ghosted us.
Okay.
Like we saved your life. You were a constant burden of worry and everything. And like we care about you. And we ended up having to basically, she told Sophie's parents that she was doing all these drugs and stuff.
That's
the
right.
parents cut her off from all money and everything. And so she's kind of mad at them, even though they were saving her life and then didn't talk to them. So there's that tension of like, we did this to help you. You guys screwed me over. And those two conflicting things.
I got you. Okay.
You know how it
that,
is when your
yeah,
friends
yeah,
do something
for
you, but then you're like, I can't believe you would betray me. And then,
they do something. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. She being Sophie has this conversation with Pete Davidson. And we kind of find out that there's a little bit of like turmoil there between Pete Davidson's character and Emma.
And they're supposed to be best friends, Sophie and David.
But do they feel like best friends to you? Or do they just feel like two people in a room?
I think they feel like best friends who one thinks the other betrayed her.
Okay.
I think once they get to talking in his dad's office, I do think they get more back into their old thing. But the thing is, again, all these characters are mad at each other. And Emma, Pete Davidson's girlfriend, is talking in his ear the whole time. Why is she invited? Like, he's kind of being influenced to be mad at her when he's her best friend and doesn't really want to be.
I guess. But then you've got like, you've got Emma and Pete Davidson going on where there was an incident with this character, Matt, right? Was it Matt?
Max is the
Max,
other
Max.
Friend that left, yeah.
where like the big reveal is that Max is in love with Emma, and
they were doing shrooms, and so Max let it slip.
No, I think the other friend let it slip. The vapid girl.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh,
about
I thought
her,
Max
right?
professed his
no,
love.
No, the vapid girl is constantly just saying stuff.
Because we see like, that later when she leaks something. Right. Okay.
She's just constantly
Either way,
running her mouth.
It gets leaked out. That would make sense. But it gets leaked out that Max is in love with Emma. And so, of course, David's not very happy with that.
Right.
And then starts. And also, we see David has this kind of inferiority complex because this is his house, and he's one of the richest of the friends, and he's had all these friends who are girls, and he's been kind of the only guy as a part of the group. And then all
Here
of a sudden, you
Greg.
Get the, you get these other guys, and so Max comes in and says, "I'm in love with your girlfriend." And then right after that, Greg, the 6'5", ripped, extremely handsome Lee Pace comes in. Oh, maybe I am. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know, he comes in, and it's like, dude, what are you doing here? And I love how funny was that writing when Sophie and David are in David's dad's office, and he's kicking back and talking, and they're talking about Greg, and he's like, he's not even handsome. Like, I think I'm handsome. And they're going through all his looks, and they basically end up landing on, he's like, yeah, Greg's very handsome. But the whole Pete Davidson convincing himself that he's better looking than
Greg. Right, trying to convince himself Greg. That he's better looking than Greg.
That was a funny conversation.
No, I agree.
I like
But
the
it's
writing.
Also funny because from a meta standpoint, I'm like, okay, Greg's better looking, but based on results.
Yeah, let's look at Pete Davidson's track history.
Yeah, like. Yeah.
Well, if we were talking Pete Davidson.
Yeah. You know,
but here's the thing. So David lives in rich guy. I can just get whatever I want because I'm rich land.
Right.
And so he has confidence from money.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between.
His confidence is store-bought.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Pete
exactly.
Davidson has the real deal, right?
Yeah.
He can pull all these, you know, these tens, these models, these actors because of his personality and he's funny. But David, on the other hand, is just like, yeah, why wouldn't anyone love me? I'm rich.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a very vapid,
yes.
crazy way to live your life. But that's the character. But I thought that was very funny. And I think there's a lot of funny writing. I also wonder. I felt like I could relate to these characters more than maybe you did, and I'm guessing maybe Tom could a little, not because of our age, but because we have teenage kids. And I feel like I kind of hear the way they talk
yeah.
and the way they act sometimes,
sure,
the
sure,
music
sure.
they listen to. So your kids aren't as old yet.
No.
So it's just, I think
Thanks
that...
Thanks to earbuds, I never hear the music they listen
yeah.
to.
But that's
a blessing.
Yes.
But yeah. I kind of feel like I knew this world, even though I personally
sure.
don't live in it, but through my son, who's a teenager now, and these kids are obviously a little bit older. They're like 18 or...
20. Well, they have to be older than that.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
early
you know...
early to mid-20s.
Late high school to early college, whatever, that kind of age. So, but they're
well,
still...
No, I think they're... They're all in college because they reference that B said she went to Utah State.
Yeah.
So they have figured they have to all be in the college.
I figured they were
graduated.
I think they were just post-college
yeah.
is
just
what
post-college.
I landed
okay.
on.
So early 20s.
It's hard to gauge because in a high school movie, they would use the exact same actors.
Exactly.
Right.
So like,
yeah, yeah.
So you're, I mean, I spent a good chunk of the film trying to be like, how old are these people?
I think with the exception of Pete Davidson and Lee Pace, I think we're all looking at like, early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
But character-wise...
Pete Davidson, I guess, is probably
yeah.
mid-20s.
Actor-wise, but see, I didn't want to just presume because I'm like, well, these are all... Yeah, they'll be playing young high school college kids for the next 10 years. They're
right.
all
yeah,
the youthful
right, right,
actors
right.
that can play down. It's not a bad thing.
Who
but,
was the who was the kid from Swim Fan?
Oh, my gosh. Jesse Bradford.
Bradford. Who was...
from Hackers.
Perpetually
Swim Fan. Bring It On.
Junior he was senior in high school when he was 40.
I know. And I mean,
his generation's Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, right.
Nothing against him. And I like a lot of those movies. I just that is funny. I would always... for the longest
that's
time...
That's
true.
I went
like,
with Swim Fan when he was in yeah. Bring It On. Like,
but
that's the...
high school actor, Jesse Bradford.
Yeah.
And then finally, I remember when like he got other roles. I was like, okay, he's finally out. But that's the thing is that... you just, I didn't want to presume because I'm like, okay, they're young kids, so I don't know. But either way, it's like, I've got a teenager, and so these kids are maybe somewhere within a decade,
yeah.
and they talk the same way. They watch the same TikTok videos. It's that generation, you kind of get a feel for it. So when I was watching this movie, I didn't go, I am so far removed, I can't relate. Like, because
there were parts where I was like, I am struggling.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and it's not a bad thing. I just mean, I think Tom and I maybe are... introduced to some of the lingo
that's fair.
Or the way
that's
they act.
That's fair.
And so when I was watching this, I'm like, yep, that's how kids are. I didn't go
yeah.
like, what is going on here? I'm like, yeah, there they are.
yeah.
Yeah,
there it is.
yeah, so it was just interesting where I didn't feel maybe as out of place, even though, of course, by age I am.
Right.
But, yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's because you and Tom were cooler than me.
Well, there's
well,
that.
Basically,
right,
yeah,
right.
I didn't
that's
want to
fair.
Say that.
That
I wanted
I
to make
appreciate that.
The whole
Thank
story
you.
For
yeah,
you.
No, that's good. Thanks. This whole group just seems like they're... I don't know, just doesn't seem like a cohesive group of friends, right? Like everybody's kind of picking at everybody else, at different people for different things. So you've got the upper middle class girl who kind of is taking shots at B, but also kind of taking like...
Clearly there's tension between Sophie's character and Jordan.
Jordan,
there's clearly tension.
Something, but it's like, it is mean, but it's almost like it's when a kid has a crush on another kid and they don't know how to like deal with it yet. It's like that kind of mean.
And
you know what I mean?
We find out later that
there's a reason
things didn't work between them. They were like,
they
could never make it work.
I just thought they hooked up.
They did. But to me, it sounded like from some of the lines they dropped that they said, because one of them says there's a reason why it would never work between us or something. Okay. I feel like they had this kind of tension going on, but their relationship couldn't work between them.
Sure. Maybe. But just see, it felt like everybody was kind of picking at everybody else.
Yeah.
You
know? And that's where the commentary comes in. That's why this is a satire and a social commentary about everybody stabbing each other in the back.
Right.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Trying to get ahead.
That's why
by any means necessary.
And I think that's why this movie's so brilliant, is because of the way that people act towards each other. And in the end, what ends up happening, you're like, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how people treat each other, even when they're quote unquote friends, talking behind each other's back and being jealous of them and petty.
Right.
Yeah.
So they start playing this game called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And the premise.
It's Werewolf.
Oh, is that what it's?
The game is Werewolf. I mean, they take a shot each one and then smacks or hits the person next to them. I don't know about that part, but the game is called Werewolf, and then that turned into a game. And Among Us is the most popular version of Werewolf.
Yeah,
Among Us is now super famous. It's a computer and video game where you're out in outer space, and it's an overhead view of the spaceship, and it's procedurally generated, so all the different rooms change. You don't know what the level looks like, but one person's the killer, and then everyone else has to run away, and then if someone gets killed, you regroup, and people can type what they think happened, and they have to vote people to that is the killer.
Okay.
Then if you vote the wrong person, that that person loses and is out of the game, but the killer's still out there. So that's all based on this game Werewolf. But when I was watching, again, because of my son, I'm like, this is Among Us, which is Werewolf. You know, he said Among Us, I'm like, it's Werewolf Among Us. And then I like that Lee Pace goes, you guys were playing Werewolf. Like, he knows, because see, his generation
played Werewolf,
being in his late 30s, early 40s, he knows the game. Like, you played it out in the dark or whatever.
Sure.
The campsite Werewolf is just a old traditional game. And so I like that they called it out, not trying to be like, we invented this game.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's a little different, but they tell you in the movie,
we get to trademark Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Right. Yeah. This is a little bit something, you know. So they're playing that.
So yeah, we find Lee Pace is, they find a dead body.
But the other red herring too, real quick, just to set up. So you've got Max punched David and he's gone.
Yes, that's right.
B is like, she's quiet. You don't quite know what's going on. Oh, I texted my mom, you know, who's she really talking to? We don't know. And then here, when they're doing the take a shot punch person, David, because he's threatened by Greg, clocks him. Like, he punches him hard, and you're supposed to do a slap, and they say hard. Everyone's like, ow, that hurt. But he punches him.
That's
Greg.
True.
And so Greg shakes it off, but you're thinking, what's up with this guy?
I will say, like, Lee Pace has moments in this where he's super chill or super whatever. And man, when he turns it on, it's like, oh, you are terrifying.
He's 6 foot five and hulking. He is intimidating. You would not want to mess with him.
Yeah.
He's a super friendly, chill guy, like you said, but punching him and you're like, oh crap.
He has this really good subtext to his performance where you can tell he's like, I'm around a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Like, from his standpoint, I know that they're not kids, but, you know, they're early 20s, but to him, they're kids. And so he's like, I'm giving you some latitude because I know you're young.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that he's being chill, but he doesn't want to be.
You get one.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get another one.
Yeah. And the story goes, because is it Allie, is the Rachel Summit character?
Yeah.
She says, because he's a vet.
He's a vet.
And then everyone's like, oh, he's
Afghanistan,
or
Iraq,
whatever. And so
just drops.
Yeah. And so we have this idea. He's this this huge guy who is, you're not quite sure, like, is he really chill or does he have ulterior motives?
I think she calls him G.I. Joe as well.
She calls him G.I. Joe, and we hear that he's a vet. So we're like, okay, something might be off.
I've seen
this
The
guy.
Guest. I know how this goes.
Right. Yeah. I was kind of thinking, yeah, that one too.
Basically, you find a dead body, you yell bodies, 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 you turn the lights back on, then you fit. Same deal. This is what, and again, they say in the beginning, like, well, I don't want to play that because every time we play this, Emma starts crying. We all start fighting. Like, I don't want to play it, but they end up playing it anyway. sure enough, that's exactly what starts happening. They start accusing each other.
And this is the other, we've got two more red herrings. This movie's so good about confusing you about who the killer is. Emma now is really upset. David is being a huge jerk and basically saying that, oh, she just cries. She's not really
crying. She's an actress.
He's saying mean stuff, and he's like, she's just an actress. She's fake crying, where clearly she's upset by what's going on.
Or is she?
Well, or we don't know.
Right.
But
that's the thing, is we don't know.
I think she's upset. But, you know, everyone's questioning that, and then they're like, no, it was David. I vote. And everyone, because he's being a jerk, says he's the killer.
Right.
And he gets super mad because he wasn't. We know now he wasn't. And he's like, dude, I'm just speaking the truth here. She's being whatever. And now you're voting me off. And he gets mad and smashes something.
Well, he takes a very aggro thing to do, as he punches like a piece of like a vase or something, a vase, if you will,
on the mantle.
Well, with that kind of money, it's a vase.
That's fair. Yeah. And then as he's walking out, he punches the door.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay.
So
cool.
He leaves the game.
Right.
Greg, who was the first that was
killed.
He was
like, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah. He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah. So they start playing again. And then we have kind of had this, we've been told through news footage or people talking that a storm is coming. So the storm arrives and knocks out the power. This is an interesting thing because they keep asking Sophie where things are. Like, where's this? Does they have a gun? Do they have this?
Right.
Do they have
She's
that?
David's best friend.
Right. And there are moments where I was like, okay, like she can, we know that she's been cut off from her trust fund at this point, right? Do we know that?
Yes.
Or was she, maybe not. Maybe because she says, did you have a chance to talk to my parents? But we don't
know
why.
Yeah, so maybe we don't know why yet, but
we
there's
know
something going on.
We know
with
that
her.
Sophie has knowledge of this house. So you're just like, okay, like
is
maybe.
Is she orchestrating this whole thing to try to get the money or whatever?
Or
get
whatever,
back at her friends for
something.
Betraying her.
Yeah,
right?
There's a flick called April Fool's Day. Yeah, April Fool's Day that has this kind of the same premise where
the hair with the hang,
yes,
the Slipknot,
yes,
and the hair.
But
it's like, I mean, I've never seen it, but I know that cover.
Spoilers for that movie. It starts off as a slasher and all these people start dying. And it turns out at the end, it's April Fool's Day and everybody comes back at the end.
Yeah. I've seen a clip from that where everyone at the end comes in and is like,
yes.
Oh,
and
April
it was,
Fools.
And people were not happy with that ending. and that's where I thought we were going with this is for a long time. I was like, okay, this is going to be one of those ones where this has been a setup the entire time for B to initiate her into the group.
Yeah.
And then we get to,
Emma is the third.
The Lee Pace one. And I was like, well, this is no longer
a joke.
Well, I
guess we should see the first kill that happens.
Yeah, so the first kill is B is walking around in the basement. She's trying to go to the bathroom. And she looks out the like this glass door. And we see Pete Davidson kind of like grasping at his throat. And she thinks she's being kind of funny. And then he pulls his hand away. And he's got this massive neck wound. And he's just bleeding everywhere.
It's the classic person bleeding out against a window.
Yeah.
Slam
so you can like
window,
run jump. Your yeah. hands down yeah. the window. Yeah. So now everybody thinks it's a joke, but they realize it's not a joke.
They go outside, and he's dying.
He's dead. Yeah, right. I guess he's actively dying, and he dies. I do think it's kind of messed up. They leave his body outside, but whatever.
Well, they say, don't move it. That's evidence.
I guess that's true. Don't you watch SVU, which I was like, that's a good line.
So they're all trying. Like, I mean, again, these are.
Also, I was like, SVU is the sexual
the sex
crime
one, yeah.
one, but okay.
But for them, that's the one that's been on forever.
I guess that's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's totally
the other
fair.
Law and Order's been off the air for like almost a decade. I know they just brought it back, but you know.
No, right. You're
but
totally right.
The other thing is, too, and this is another commentary, these are a bunch of young kids that are rich and have everything done for them. They don't know how to handle this situation.
Right, that's fair.
I mean, this is a situation most people couldn't handle, but I mean, they're just lost. They're partying. They're doing drugs. We should say they're drinking, doing lines
snorting
or whatever,
coke.
Taking pills. They're just doing nonstop drugs, like crazy amounts,
yeah.
Which is, again, like a commentary. This is just normal for their partying.
But also, it is a commentary on how good friends they are, because they know that their friend is in rehab or came out of rehab, and they'll just openly drink and do drugs in front of her, which is a comment that she makes
which
later.
Is another thing that Sophie brings up. So when you guys do it, it's just
when
partying.
When the white girl does it, it's all right.
And when the black girl does it, she's got a problem and has to go to rehab.
Right.
So another commentary on the war on drugs, people that are locked up in jail for marijuana use.
Oh, yeah.
So this movie has a lot to say. I think it's very smart in the way that it lays it all out through these characters.
Sure. Our group gathers back up and they realize that Greg is the only one that's not there and Max, but Max is kind of, they keep dropping Max's name just randomly to make sure you don't forget about him. So they go to the room, can't find Greg. They're walking around. They end up stumbling into,
they find his go bag.
Oh, so that's right.
People
that's right.
in the military probably most often and with their thought that he's a vet.
I've got one.
Yeah. So yeah. people, okay, law enforcement, military would be the type that would probably have a go bag, not just your average Joe.
Hey, now.
So they find that he's got a go bag, which includes a map. The house is circled on there and a knife.
And all kinds of stuff.
So they're like, what the hell is this? So like, it's Greg. Greg is killing people.
Then it's kind of interesting how fast they jump from person to person. Mm-hmm. So they go find, they can't find Greg in the room. They go down to like this gym. They find Greg in like a purge mask.
Yeah. It's a good scare.
It is a good one where he's like, why didn't you answer? He's like, I had my earbuds in. Like I didn't hear
and
anything.
I think it's smart that as the viewer, we're more rational. We're looking from the outside. We're not, our friend didn't just die and we're in a hurricane. Right. And so we're looking and we're like, he's got a white shirt on. It's
no
totally
blood.
Dry.
Yeah.
There's no blood anywhere. He just looks clean. His hair is kept or whatever, you know? Right. So we're like, that dude has been sleeping. Like he didn't just murder someone. Like he's just been sleeping.
Yeah. He was not outside.
He looks perfect. Yeah.
But as soon as they like, it is crazy though, when he stands up and he's surrounded by these women, he is a massive, you don't realize.
Right,
I don't,
Pete Davidson's tall.
That's what I'm saying. You don't realize how tall he is next to Pete Davidson, but when he's around people of average height, you're just like, Jesus.
Yeah,
6'5"
is big.
Massive.
He's huge.
And they start to gang up on him.
They surround him. So he realizes, he's like, this is not. No, and then he thinks, oh, you're playing the game.
You're messing with me. You're messing with me.
I'm dead. You know, already. Ooh, I'm dead.
But the scene that I was thinking was the scene with Pete Davidson where he realized, like, Lee Pace kind of says the best defense is a good offense. And Pete Davidson kind of starts leaning into him about that. And he's like, they realize that it's becoming contentious. And Lee Pace stands up and like his face changes. And he was like, he gets in Pete Davidson's face and he is menacing as F in that scene. And he gets like that here too.
That's the real red herring, because that's when he goes to bed. He decides to remove himself from the situation. But Pete Davidson clearly, even though he's outmatched, Lee Pace would wipe the floor with him.
Without question.
But he, again, I'm rich. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. He has that personality of like, you know, I'm whatever. I'm the best. So Lee Pace removes himself. But then you're like, well, he's gone now. People are going to start dying. So
he's Sidney's dad from Scream 1. We're like, hey, what happened to that guy? Yeah. So
they confront him.
They confront him. And then they circle up on him. And he kind of takes, you know, these, I'm not going to use the word girls, but to him, they are girls. Start to like try to gang up on him, and he's just throwing them around like it's nobody's problem. But then he's standing there, he's got this knife in his hand, and all of a sudden you hear like a funk, like that's the sound effect that they use, and he just kind of stops, and all of a sudden you start to see like blood kind of trickle from his forehead, and he drops to his knees.
He's in shock.
And we see B with a kettlebell like in her hand, and then does he get back up?
Yeah,
and
he starts moving
him,
again,
and
she
clocks him again, and I was like, well. This is not April Fool's Day. And if it was, now we don't know what's going to happen.
Which is so beautiful, because now it's the question of like, was this self-defense?
Beautiful.
I love
it.
Now.
So the question comes now, was this self-defense? Now this girl, no matter what, like they're in this situation. And
it's like the first hit is self-defense.
The second one,
I don't think so.
Right? And also, she's not rich. She doesn't come from this world. Now you have this outsider who has murdered someone, whether it was in defense or not, he's dead.
Right.
But she also murdered another outsider.
Correct.
True.
Correct.
So you
if
start thinking.
If that's what I would start doing, start taking out the people that don't belong and then work your way in.
But I love what it does for that thought process as these characters start dying, because you're like, okay, Pete Davidson died. We don't know who the killer is, but he's been murdered. Now you have B, who's killed someone, and she's going to have to explain.
And we know that B did that, like, right?
Right.
So we see that
happen. Right. But is she the killer capable of killing someone else? Was this self-defense? Was it really self-defense?
Right.
And so this movie keeps you guessing as people get picked off. You're like, well, not them.
Yeah, right.
And I love that different people probably think it's someone else, which is how these Werewolf Among Us games happen.
Right.
Other people think it's someone else. The killer obviously has to lie about it, but people are picking people, and you pick the wrong one, and boop, they're out of the game, and they weren't the killer, so that's what they're doing.
So Emma at this point is a mess because her boyfriend is dead. So I think Sophie ends up giving her, or maybe Emma, no, the other, who's the vapid one?
She does give Emma the
pills. Somebody gives Emma.
She's the third to die.
That's right. Somebody gives Emma Xanax, basically.
Oh, and now at this point, the men are killed off. It's all women.
Yeah, all
so
women.
Just to note, you know, so we had the men as a part of this group. Well, yeah, Max is nowhere to be seen. But in the house, now it's a story of women.
Yes. So they give Emma the Xanax. And again, lights are out and the people are trying to walk around the house.
They're all turning on each other at this point.
Quickly.
And
quickly turning
and
on each
so
other.
So they're, you know, Sophie.
Oh,
is,
this, you know what? It, this, what it is they're in that room. And Sophie, who has now broken her sobriety, kind of goes after Emma and says, you didn't really like, you didn't like him. You didn't really, you know, you just stuck with him because you wanted somebody. Blah, 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 blah.
Because she's sad about her best friend. Her best friend, David, has died, and now she's able to say all these things because of the situation. She's like, yeah, you treated him like crap. You stayed with him and didn't care about him, didn't love him, and she lays that all out.
Yes.
And then so
and then they kick, and then this is where they kick B out, right? Because they kick B out of the house.
No, because Emma has to die first. So what happens is then they're all in the dark, and they're all kind of scared and confused and everything, of course, with the situation. And then Emma stumbles into Sophie, and Sophie starts apologizing to her.
That's right, that's right.
And Emma kisses
and she's like, I thought this is what you wanted. She was like, what are you talking about?
And she hands her those pills, though, to calm her down because of the situation.
Oh, I think she'd already taken
them. And she walks off.
Either way, she takes meds. And she walks off. We're again with.
Well, we see her snorting something, don't we?
We see Sophie snorting something. Yes. Now, I think that was the cocaine.
Though. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we hear a sound up in the distance. We hear a scream and a fall. And we come back and we find Emma has fallen. Well, looks like she has fallen down the steps. And now her head is caved in. And now she is dead. And then this is where they turn on B, where they tell B to go up. Sophie tells B to go upstairs, change her clothes. This was the weird part for me, where I'm watching it and I was like, why is she putting on makeup? And they reference it and they never say
because
anything about
she's
it.
She's not rich and she's in rich people clothes. She's in David's parents' clothes. And I think she just wanted to feel
it
like
was
one of them.
Very weird.
But it's to throw you off too. How in this situation where people are dying around her, how can someone be sitting there putting on makeup? Yeah. It's to throw you off.
Right. It worked.
But from her perspective, again, I mean, people deal with things in different ways. She's in this horrible situation, but she's changed into what she found in the closet, her rich people clothes.
Yeah.
And she puts them on, and then she sees the vanity. And I think
she get her
just
own clothes?
What's that?
Why didn't she get her own clothes?
Well, they're out in the
car
in a duffel bag. Yeah, and in a hurricane.
She brought all that in.
Oh, no, because we see later her bag's
right,
in
that's
the.
That's right, that's right.
But so she, I think she wanted to feel like one of the rich people. We've got all these rich, fancy people around her, and she's an outsider. So it was a little bit of her dealing with the trauma, but also like, what is with this person?
She's a little strange.
Because that is something that we see even in, this isn't really a spoiler because you know this person is, I think you know this person's the killer or whatever, but in X with Pearl.
Yeah. Did you see the trailer?
No, I didn't watch the.
Oh, man.
No. But it's like, you know, we see this scene of like Pearl putting on makeup and it's this very eerie thing where obviously she's killing people, but then she wants to feel beautiful and she's putting on makeup and it's just kind of disconcerting.
Comes out this October.
That's so cool. In one year they did the movie and the prequel.
The prequel. Yeah. So. Right.
B comes down.
B comes down, and they're like, what are you doing?
And she came from up top where Emma fell.
Right.
So.
Right. So Sophie turns on her.
Alice.
Everybody turns on her, basically. I think that the upper middle class gal leads the charge to get people to think that it could be B, and they end up, like, pushing her out of the house.
Yeah.
And B. And again,
well, and even Sophie's there.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
she
doesn't stand
up for
her.
We don't know her. We don't know anything about her.
How long have you known her? She lied about where she went to school. She lied about this. She lied about that.
See, behind the back, they're doing the, I checked your records. Like, when you show up, like us, like normal people at a party, we don't show up and run background checks, right?
Yeah.
So now these rich kids are, they see an outsider come. They got to look up everything about them. Where did they go to school? Do they have any history online or whatever?
They've
done this whole search on her and said, no one graduated from Wesleyan or whatever.
She's like, there's no record of you anywhere. We should also say that earlier in the movie, this will be come up right now. B is like going through somebody's clothes are on the bed or something. And she picks up what looks like a sports bra or like a fancy, like lacy bra. And what is this character's name?
Jordan.
Jordan says, hey, that's mine. Put that down.
Yeah.
And she puts it down.
Well, it's funnier because they're looking for Greg, and she's like, I don't think he's hiding in my bra.
That's what it was, yeah, right.
Because they're going
through
his room or whatever, or one of the rooms.
Right. And, So B gets to her car. She opens up a duffel bag to change because she's soaking wet. She changes clothes, and she reaches in. She finds a bra that is very similar. Is it underwear?
It's underwear.
It's underwear.
I thought it was another
bra. It matches.
That makes more sense. I was like, why would she have two? But whatever.
all crumpled up, and I think that she can tell that
it's the same style
she
as
she's,
you know, that she's, was weird.
She's, I know, but that's what I mean. Just have to state it. This is what happens.
But
in the
it
movie.
Is the same color as the bra.
Right. Yes. She knows that it matches, and yeah.
Right. So B ends up making her way back in. As she's kind of like making her way to the house, we see her. Again, it's a pretty slick identifier as to who this character is, because Jordan has like the GoPro on her head.
The go bag light.
Yeah.
The lamp.
Yeah. So like when you see that that moving around, you're like, okay, so we know what character that is without having to see that character.
But we see her peering into the windows and.
Yeah. And we see that
Jordan
grabs a gun.
Has a gun.
So.
And we're supposed to believe no one has guns, right? And there's a little political commentary thrown in there.
So we end up seeing a doggy door earlier in the movie, which shockingly enough comes back into play here.
What do you know?
Yeah. I will say it's a big ass doggy door.
I probably had a big Doberman or something.
I don't know,
you know?
But like I've never seen a doggy door have a tunnel.
Well, but you don't live in a mansion.
That's also
they
true.
Don't want the outside whatever anywhere close to their house. Like they, you know what I mean? It has to walk
fair.
Through
that's
a
fair. That's totally
clean
fair.
Your paws on
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, right. So B crawls through the dog door. She comes back through. And people, the three of them, so we've got
Alice, Jordan, and Sophie
are left. B kind of walks in and she was like, look, I'm sorry. I did lie. You know that I went to school for a while, but my mom was having issues. You know, she has.
It's a clinical term, but I can't remember what it is, but I think it stands.
But either
for
way, like it sets off a red flag to Jordan. Which is like
borderline?
Borderline.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Isn't that like a dissociative type?
Borderline personality disorder.
Borderline
right.
personality
That's what I'm
disorder.
Saying, yeah.
It's not dissociative, but it's very manipulative.
Okay. Okay.
And he'll gaslight you and
right.
Yeah.
But that's
which
sorry,
that's
so.
The other thing about this movie is they are using those terms.
Yeah.
Gaslight, trigger,
oh,
toxic.
Yeah.
That scene where they all like finally
start
are in a
firing
room
off
out.
The
oh
words.
Oh my god, that is the highlight of the film.
I agree. I was like, oh, okay, now I think I know what movie this is.
That's where Pete Davidson starts saying gaslighting is not even real because they say.
Well, that's earlier. I meant
this scene right now.
This scene.
Oh, you know, this is the scene where you're supposed to be like, yeah, they're all these social justice.
Yeah.
Whatever. But that was really mean and awful when. They're all like, you're gaslighting her, David. And he goes, gaslighting's not real, which he's gaslighting.
Right.
Right.
Which I thought was very clever writing that someone, again, with I'm rich, I can do no wrong, everyone loves me, would be the type of person that would go, gaslighting's not real, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Like,
hey, you're trying to gaslight them.
You are gaslighting.
There's no self-awareness.
So B ends up putting all the entire truth out there. She's like, you know, my mom has borderline. I couldn't stay in school because she was having a lot of issues. I worked at
the mall,
the video game place. They closed our location like a week before I
probably was a nod to the whole Among Us thing or something. They chose a video game store. I don't know.
Okay.
But.
She says they closed their location maybe like a week before they met and I didn't want to embarrass you. And Sophie hears her and like accepts it. And this is where she tells Jordan, she was like, she being B rats on Jordan says she's got a gun and they're like, she's like, no, I don't have it. And she takes all the stuff out of her pockets. And of course, one of the things that falls out is the X that donates or
designates.
Thank you.
Denotes.
That's what I was looking for. Who the killer is in this game. And she's like, it's not me. B does her whole thing. They embrace. And then here comes Jordan with the gun. And of course we know that, you know, there's a fight ensues. And
well, at this point, they very much turned on each other, and this is it
except
is
for Sophie and B. Like, though, I feel like those two kind of came back in that moment.
Well, yeah, they're all kind of unsure of each other. But you're right. But they all start with Alice and with Jordan. They're all turning on each other, and Tom, like he mentioned with that really good scene, they're all. This is a commentary on how people are so. Wrapped up in trying to be politically correct and all these things that they're turning on each other and not actually taking the time to talk to each other and believe each other.
Nobody's
listening. Just like, you know, they're just trying to be like, oh, I know what the right thing is to do here. And
they start ragging on Alice's podcast because it turns out that Jordan, she's like, and basically, so Jordan says to B, I had sex with her yesterday. Like check her texts.
And tell her, yeah, you tell B that we hooked up on the way down here.
We know that there is a pair of underwear like in mm-hmm. this bag. So now we know that Sophie isn't exactly the most honorable person either, mm-hmm. right? You can forgive the drug addiction because you went to rehab. Sure. She's trying to get her life back together. But now you have an opportunity to tell the truth and you choose not to tell the truth again.
They've only been together for what, 6 weeks something or like something? That, yeah. You know, it's a new relationship, but long enough to where they're together. They are a couple.
Right. She said, I love you.
Who's, I mean, she said, I love you to be.
Yes. Yeah.
B didn't say it back.
She did not.
But yeah.
Yeah. But then beginning, I think that's also, I know that it lingers a bit, but I was going to say in the beginning, that scene is to show that like they're in the throes of this. It's a passionate relationship.
Yeah.
They clearly care about each other in some regard. And Sophie does so much that says, I love you. And you believe that. But now you see this and you're like, well, wait a minute.
Maybe not. Maybe she is the narcissist. That was the other one that they threw around. So,
oh, the podcast thing. Did you just feel a little bit of a knife?
A little bit. I mean, a little bit.
I mean, talk about commentaries on different types of people and different things they do.
Yeah.
This one was about people that have podcasts. Right. Yeah. You do your little podcast. And
I do.
It's a lot of work that goes into a podcast.
Oh, my God. I was like,
she's not wrong.
Schedule guests. And, yeah.
I know. I was
it into a Google calendar.
Oh, my God. I mean, because I was like, yep, that's me right there. It's a lot of work that goes into a podcast. Oh, so that was clearly a little, you know.
One of the things I did like is she would mention the title and Jordan would have like a reaction to the title. And she's like, did you just?
Yeah.
She goes, did you just huff at the title? And I think Sophie was like, say it again. And she was like, you know, smart friends with whatever. And she goes, pfft. She's like, you did it again. She's like,
she rolled
it
her
again.
Eyes. It, like, Jordan could not help but have a physical
just the disdain she has,
visceral
for the
reaction.
Yeah, right.
To, I mean, she could not hide it.
And I this is where Alice just starts going crazy, starts yelling at her. And Jordan,
this is the first time we've seen Alice, a character who again is neutral, who is nice to everybody, but it's clearly an act. Right. She has thoughts.
Yes.
And Jordan has been talking bad about her podcast behind her back.
Yes.
That Sophie's letting it slip that she's talking bad about.
Not only she let it slip, she made sure to tell her.
Right,
because
right.
Because Jordan told
about the
sex.
Hookup,
yeah.
Right. So now Alice is pissed.
Right. And that's secrets are no fun.
Yeah. And she goes off and this is your parents, you think that you're living this rags to riches. Your parents are upper middle class.
And it shoots her in the shin.
They're not. They're professors at the university.
It's public.
At a public university. Right. Where this is us as outsiders going like, oh my God, the way that they.
Up.
Yeah.
And then she shoots, Jordan shoots Alice in the shin. And she's like, did you just shoot me? She's like, no. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. She's like, yes, you did. You just shot me. She's like, I didn't. I didn't shoot you.
No, I didn't.
And then this is hard because in situations like this, it's like you're trying to be as de-escalating as possible, right? Where Alice is not.
Yeah.
Alice is like walking up, getting in her space, and Jordan has this gun. She's flailing at her. There's a fight for the gun between all four of them at this point. There's a dog pile, and then the gun goes off, and of course, Alice has had her brains blown out.
And you don't know. And
we
again,
don't
at this
know
point,
who.
We don't know. Is the killer? Was it an accident? She says, "I don't know what happened. I did not pull a trigger."
But but the gun is in her hand.
But I mean, if people are piling on each other and they're trying to grab for the gun, I just mean that she's saying, "I did not mean to kill her. I did not shoot her." I sound exactly like Tommy from I did not shoot her. I did not. I mean, I'm just saying these words. I'm like, oh, God, those are the lines from the room. So she's saying I didn't, but we're not sure. And is the killer in this group? And did they mean to kill her?
Well, the killer is in this group. Oh, I see what you're saying.
No, we as audience members are like, we don't know. This movie keeps you guessing. Every time someone dies, now do we believe Jordan? Is Jordan the killer? Or is one of them the killer and pulled the trigger and like acted like they didn't?
But Jordan ends up with the gun.
Sophie walks up the stairs, backing her up
the stairs. Yeah, backing her up. Again, just like, I'm like, hey, stop. Like, what are you doing?
I know. Quit. I'm like, that's the easiest way to get shot.
Yeah, no
She's
kidding.
Pointing a gun at Sophie and Sophie's just like, hey.
And then out of note, like when they get to the top of the staircase, here comes B out of like another.
How did B get up there and through it? Like
she must have gone a different way.
Right, because they're on a staircase.
I don't know. Which is a red flag for B, right? Because she's figured out a way around this house without.
Somehow
us.
She went up another staircase and through rooms to get like, I don't know how she got to
it. I don't know
her,
either.
But.
So,
or maybe we were just so concentrated on them backed up the stairs and into the hallway or whatever that
maybe
she just snuck up the stairs.
Yeah.
But
so
it was out of nowhere.
There's
a
fight here for the gun. And I think, B ends up throwing Jordan over the edge of the railing through, you know, through a table. I guess that's what that was.
Yeah, of all
beer bottles or whatever.
Cans.
And the last one, like, she's just like shooting up in the air. Like,
check her text. Boom,
okay,
boom.
So this is what I thought. I thought she was talking to Sophie.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, you didn't think she was talking?
You think she was saying for the mom thing? Like, is it really?
I thought she was telling Sophie, check her text.
No, I think she was telling B because she cheated on her.
But like, that's the red herring, right? You could take that both ways.
No, you could. I didn't. Yeah. No, I'm.
That's the way I thought. Where that's I was like, oh, there's something in the text that's not.
I think it all just comes back to now. You two are the last ones left. She knows that like there were three of them. She's dying out, and she's like, check her text to see if you can trust Sophie.
Right. When we know, and we all know that we can't. Right. She's lying about sleeping with Jordan
as a murderer. But you're right. That's. Right. Yeah. They've all have these little red flags. Again, that's this whole movie, which is so brilliant, is they've all got reasons not to trust
him. Yeah.
There's reasons to think they're all the killer. And as they start dying off, you're like, oh, well,
not that one.
We're kind of running out of people. So at this point, it's like, God, Max has got to show up. Is it Max pulling the strings? Because I did not believe it was Sophie or B, even though Sophie has some motives with the money stuff. It's like, I'm like, God, when is Max going to pop up?
So the storm at this point has relented. Day is starting to break through. Now we're down to Sophie and B, and they're in like this closet or whatever. And Sophie tries to like embrace her, and B is like standoffish and pushing her away.
Well, she thinks she's trying to attack her, right? She reaches to touch her face, and she thinks she's hitting her. And she like, it isn't just she doesn't want her to touch her. She's just like, she thinks she's scared of her.
They don't trust each other.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think Sophie trusts B.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
But not the other way
around.
But
we don't know. At this point, we thought Sophie could be the killer.
Sure.
We don't know. I mean, we just don't know. And there's this definite distrust going on. But you're right. Sophie is trying to maybe killing her, right? Like, we don't know if she's... It looks like she's embracing.
Right.
But.
So we end up getting outside. And how does B trick Sophie?
She says she has the gun. She goes and picks up the gun.
That's what it is. That's right.
And we don't know.
We didn't know that she had the gun.
Sophie, like, it's another kind of jump scare where Sophie comes, but to hug her.
Right.
And she's like, hey. And then B's like, I've been looking for you. Not really, you know. And she gets away from her and points the gun.
Yeah. She says, let me see your phone. Yeah. And she was like, no. And I was like, ah, that's it. Like, if you've got nothing to hide. Show me the phone. Okay. But
is a great double. I mean, it's a head fake because it's like, no, she just doesn't want to show she's cheated on her.
Of course.
But we're thinking like, is it Max on the phone?
So I even took it as like that. I took it as this relationship is over because now you're going to find out that I cheated on you.
Right.
But you're right though. There could be other texts in there that say,
that's what I mean. Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah. No, it was like, I don't want you to see that I cheated on you, but is it like, are we going to find something else on there?
Sure. So she tosses her phone, and of course they both go after it. I was like, what phone is going to work after it goes in the pool? But whatever. Also, what phone is going to work after it's been in a hurricane covered
in mud?
Well,
new iPhones are waterproof.
Are they mudproof?
But this group would have the newest.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair. Phone.
Phones last a lot longer than they used to.
That's a good point.
For sure.
I still have an iPhone 3 that my kid plays with.
So another underwater shot like we see in the beginning with the people underwater.
And I will say, those are cool shots.
It's cool photography.
B gets out of the water first, and they're scrambling, and she grabs this phone, and they go to open it, and Sophie's like, that's not my phone. And they look over at Pete Davidson.
B is very resourceful.
But I think I liked this scene where she just like plucks his eyes open and uses it for the facial.
And you hear the
like,
noise. Click. That unlock sound of an iPhone.
And this whole thing.
Oh my God. When this happens, when we see him outside with the machete.
So we should say earlier in the movie,
Greg
takes this giant sword and like, you know.
Who I don't think we ever addressed is not. A veteran. He's a veterinarian.
He's a veterinarian.
He's the one
and
that has
they applied all these stereotypes of like he's got PTSD and he's got guns and he's got all these things and you know.
Yeah, it was a really great conversation.
You call him G.I. Joe. She's like, yeah, did you look at him?
Yeah. You said he's a vet. A veterinarian. A veterinarian's assistant.
That's a pretty good.
But that was hilarious. Yeah. You call him G.I. Joe.
Look at him.
Yeah, that was a really great one. But he's showing not in a bad way at all. But he's like he's
cool guy.
He's cool, right? Yeah. And so they get this expensive bottle of champagne, and David's like, "No, I told you we're not opening that." Yeah, and he takes the sword and pops the bottle
with it.
And so he's like, "It's not that cool."
So there's a whole TikTok draft in Pete Davidson's phone of him trying to do the bottle, and what does he do? Cuts his own throat. On accident.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He slits his throat on accident. And
that
accident leads to all of this mayhem.
It started the whole thing. Right.
Yes.
There is no killer.
There
is
none. Well, there is one.
Well, now, but
no, but
yeah,
the killer.
But there's not a killer at large going around.
No, there's
picking them off.
There's a lot of killers. Yeah. I mean, they all killed each other.
I don't think
in some
did
way.
Sylvie kill anybody? No, she didn't.
Well, in a way, she gave.
I guess she gave
illegal drugs to someone who tripped
down
the stairs.
Yeah, that's right. She gave the drugs. To Emma.
Like in a way, they all became killers.
Yeah,
and killed each other over this misunderstanding, which again is the commentary on the whole thing.
Yes,
they're so wrapped up in themselves and trying to go behind each other's backs and all this stuff to where they, you know, they couldn't stop for a second and figure this out, which is just brilliant. The ending elevated it for me.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, but when that hit,
it's a great, it's a great twist ending.
Yeah.
And then when Max walks through and he can, you know, everything's a mess because of the storm, right? There's mud and muck and trees everywhere. And there's Sophie and B and their cover also covered in muck because they've been like crawling through the mud and fighting. And he was just like, what did I miss? And then I think Sophie has a line as well, but I can't remember
I don't
what
think
it was.
So. B
but
has
just,
the last
just,
line.
Like, cuts to credits.
Well, B has the last line because you hear the
I
phone.
I can explain.
Ding, ding, ding. She's
oh,
getting all the messages.
I have reception.
I have reception.
And that's how the movie ends. I think there's a lot of this that I was not a huge fan of and I had a hard time getting into. But I will say there's that great scene of them rattling off the what do you call them? Like the trending words.
Yeah.
And then there's the twist at the end, I think is also fantastic. But yeah. This is, if you like Ready or Not, or You're Next, or Home Alone, or Clue, like this has a lot of Clue kind of influence.
Yeah. Clue's the other one. I was thinking this is very Clue or Agatha Christie, like the Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah,
it's a whodunit.
Yeah. And everybody's locked in a room, in a house.
And you got to figure it out.
So you have this finite pool of people to pick from.
Very much Clue, and I'm glad you said it because that's the one. Not, I mean, I saw Ready or Not in my head. I was thinking, but Clue is the one I thought of because, you know, the butler locks them in the house.
Right,
they're
right,
locked
right,
in.
Right.
These kids are locked in because of the hurricane and all the power has been cut. So like the big gate is closed, locked shut. They
can't
get
out. And of course, B left the. That was another thing where I was like, okay, B leaves the visor down, which drains a battery. Which I was like, I don't think that would work. But
yeah,
maybe.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty small amount of power to pull from a car battery.
Well, no, but when you pull down the visor with the thing, sometimes more lights go on in the car. Like maybe the car cabin lights.
Either way, I was like, she did that on purpose.
Yeah.
She left it down on purpose to, you know, as a red flag earlier.
Or you thought
movie.
Like a red herring.
Yeah, to kill the car.
That was a great shot. Again, this movie looks really good. The cinematography was great. And that's a shot from inside the car. And B leaves that down. And then you see her walking to the house from the car and it stays in the cabin.
Right.
And at the time, you know, you might not catch it, but it's focusing on that being down.
It is.
Yeah.
And later you're like, oh.
It lingers long enough for you to go, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
It was clever.
If you dig those movies, I think, and you can tolerate the Gen Z stuff, I think this would be
I don't think it's something to tolerate. I think it's a selling point. Like, I thought it was clever.
Once they get to that scene, I was like, okay. I'm
right.
with you, but you got to get there.
Well, this filmmaker, again, like we said, isn't Gen Z, so it's not like a movie made by Gen Z Gen Z.
But I have been seeing people say, like, it feels like somebody that understands.
Yeah, she's close enough, I think, in age.
Yeah,
that she
that's
gets
that.
I think probably the writers too.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think that there's things in there to appreciate from both sides. I think Gen Z will be able to relate with a certain type of people, and there's multiple types. And then I think older people are like, "Yep, that's how those
that's
kids
how those
are.
Kids are." their wokeness got them killed.
That's right.
Yeah.
But this was clever. Really, and again, that ending.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joy Butts, BUTTS21. Also, don't forget to check out Binge Movies. Coming
out.
You
said it at the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to help. Just trying to make sure.
Nobody makes it this far. You said so.
That's true.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Simon killed Lynette.
Get ready for a spoiler. Say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.